gone back to almost, whatever, went out of session. We're back on our 1 o'clock agenda. We've been working
the entire morning, yeah. Huh?
So we're up to 1 o'clock with planning and zoning. Dennis, take it away.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. The first thing that I have that we're bringing before you is a resolution to adopt nuisance regulations within the planning and zoning department. And that should just be the handout that you had there.
This one? No. Where's the
So, if you can recall, about 3 months ago, we started working on some nuisance regulations and stuff, and Matt and I had put together some information, basically from around the state. We looked at their nuisance regulations and brought some of that information together and took it in front of the Planning and Zoning Board the first go-round. I believe that was in April. And everybody had some questions and concerns. We had really good showing of the public, and it was decided to table it at that time and hold a public meeting on these nuisance regulations, which we did in the following month. Had very good turnout by the public. I think we had close to 30 some people there. Very good discussion. We went through the proposed nuisance regulation, you know, line by line, and came up with the proposed regulations that you have in front of you now. It basically only deals with health, safety, and welfare of residents of Sublette County. A lot of in the original version, we had stuff in there about how many vehicles declared a nuisance, kind of personal stuff, as we called it, and a little bit of regulation on it. This does not have that in it, and had sent it back out to everybody. Got good comments and stuff on it. Everybody liked the changes. It was all the changes that were discussed and talked about in that meeting. Did not have any feedback from the public. Again, after that, I talked with two of the people that I directly sent it to. They were very happy with it. Planning and Zoning Board at our last meeting, we only had three members present. The fourth member commented to me before he couldn't make the meeting. He commented that he liked the way it was all laid out. At the planning and zoning meeting, we changed just a couple, three words throughout the whole thing, which just kind of made the stuff more clear. And then the Planning and Zoning Board is recommending for you to approve these nuisance regulations on a 3-0 vote.
So how many total meetings have you had on this? You had the one, the initial meeting with the public, and you had that. Then you did a revision, mm-hmm. had another public meeting,
mm-hmm.
and then
third planning and zoning meeting, then the next planning and zoning meeting.
So you've had at least three meetings on this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Four, if you include this one, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
And then nobody showed up from the public at this last planning and zoning commission meeting, and I don't think anybody's here today. But I could do it.
Commissioner Noble.
I just want to point out that Dennis did his due diligence on this with the workshops. And I attended the one meeting, which was controversial. And then he had the workshop, and I've actually heard from some of the people that were at the first controversial meeting. They're pleased with this. They get it.
We were very surprised that nobody showed up at the Planning and Zoning Commission, either to speak for or against it.
Since you did the revision, you haven't had any comment, opposition?
No. The people that I've spoke to and Assembly Tom are pleased with how this come out. This, when we went through the initial one, like I said, we went through point by point by point and made those corrections right then, or how we were going to word things, or if we were going to strike it totally. So everybody, at the end of that meeting, everybody pretty well knew what to expect, and when this come out, it's been fine. This has been posted on the website ever since we did get the revisions, and it was out the whole month that this was advertised again for the planning and zoning meeting and for this meeting, so.
So adequate chance for public.
I hope so.
So someone that was vehemently opposed to this at the very first meeting, but once all the changes were made, didn't have a problem with what the board had done? Or was there no one there that was vehemently opposed to this?
Everybody was to begin with in the entirety of it, and then we explained that we were going to go through and discuss and make corrections and changes to each one of these points. Once we were done with that meeting, everybody was pretty well in agreeance with it and understands and sees the intent of what we're trying to do with it and what it then allows the commission and stuff to be able to deal with some of the problems that are in the county.
Okay. Any other questions or comments?
Commissioner Doug was at that meeting also.
I was. Do you have a comment?
I'm sorry, I'm ignorant. Would you please read it to me as it's written now?
Oh, no, you can have a copy of it. It's
here.
Two pages.
I apologize. I didn't.
I'll give it back to you. I don't need it.
Oh, it's the whole thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, it's been condensed.
It's been condensed. 3 pages.
Yeah.
Or more.
Okay.
Commissioner Bowser.
Mr. Chairman, I apologize. I haven't had a chance to even see this till today, and I'm just looking through it, and I think I need some time to, I'd like to put it off a couple of weeks, if possible. One of my bigger concerns is how in the heck are we going to enforce this, because a lot of this stuff, I've been reading at it, is going to be in the eye of the beholder. So if I don't like my neighbor, I can look over there. I'm going to come up with one of these things that he's violating. Then it's incumbent on you as planning and zoning to go out there and remediate a war between two neighbors. And I, without further study, I'm not sure we want to go down that road.
Okay.
Definitely
given
enforcement, I think, is, you know, how do you fairly enforce this? And I can see about half of this stuff is in the eye of, it's somebody's opinion. It's not, it's just based on opinion, whether, you know, view shed is an opinion. Are you obstructing my view shed? Is your runoff of surface waters that affects nearby properties? Well, you get a rain, somebody's got a corral with some horses in it, the water runs for 10 minutes onto your property, you're going to be getting a phone call to go out and tell that guy to get rid of his horses. I don't know. I see it as a nightmare for enforcement. That's my first reaction. And maybe I'm wrong. And Tom, you were in on this from the start, I guess, if it looks good to you.
I don't think it's any different than any zoning rule. There's no teeth to any of them, unless we enforce it. But make it have teeth, and that's what this does, is this gives us an opportunity to fix a problem or problems in the county if need be. And
I think it gives us
that problem with any zoning regulation. Is there any teeth? I mean, for example, the dog ordinance. We've tested that one multiple times in the last couple of years, and they usually can be resolved with a letter from Matt or Dennis, or a little bit of just courtesy. So, I understand your concern, Joel, totally, but we gotta have something on the books, and this was a great finished product, I felt.
Well, the way it's written, I guess the onus of responsibility is on us, because we are the ones that have to declare the nuisance. So it ultimately
comes
before.
That's one positive thing.
Yeah.
If there's disagreement, it becomes before the commissioners to resolve it.
So the way that I see this working, which is similar to some of the rest ordinances we have, through, it's going to come through my office, and through that due diligence, then if it can't be worked out or resolved before that time, then that case then would be brought to you guys to make a determination on one way or the other. And at that time, you would have, should have ample information.
So maybe I'm...
No, you have a legitimate concern.
I need more time. I think I've looked at it enough that I don't think I'm going to change my opinion, so I'd say go ahead. If we want to adopt it, let's adopt it.
Okay. He just read it. Ask him his opinion.
I throw a comment. I was like Joel, and I just scanned it. And after what I hear and what I see, I think it's a very good, as written, as good as you're going to get.
Yeah.
And I think probably need someone that looks like that.
Well, and that puts the responsibility on you to investigate the complaint. And then if you find what you think is validity to that complaint, then it's up to us to, just like you do with planning and zoning, come to us, we review it, and make that decision. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's suitable for me.
I guess if Joel, you okay, or do you want me to make a motion, or do you want
go
to
go ahead and make a motion?
I don't want to rush you.
I'm not saying I'll vote for it, but go ahead and make a motion, because I think I've seen enough.
Well, I make a motion. We accept resolution number 19-10365B, Sublette County, Wyoming, resolution adopting a nuisance regulation.
Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a second. Any discussion?
Yeah, I have some discussion, yes. I completely concur with what Joel just said. I think, probably there needs to be something on the book, but here's what I'm going to say. I think this thing in its entirety, the page or two pages, whatever you look at, I think this thing, before we actually adopt it, needs to be put out there once again for the public to know that it's being taken under consideration by the county to adopt this resolution. And another couple of weeks is not a big time. This thing, in my mind, is loaded with... Dennis is going to have to hire another person just to do the investigation of the complaints that are going to show up, because he's going to have John Blow over here and Jack Blow over here that are not going to see eye to eye on whatever they think is a nuisance. It's going to be a veritable nightmare. And I think that, number one, it needs to be, and I know we've had meetings, like most things in Sublette County, they are attended by very few, and that's not anybody's fault but the ones who don't attend. But I think it needs to have another opportunity to be put before the public to let them know that this thing is under consideration to be adopted by the commission, and the law enforcement portion of it, or the enforcement portion of it. I don't see how you can make it happen, quite honestly. You're gonna put the onus right back on the county commissioners, is what it amounts to. And so we're going to end up being either the good or the bad guy, depending on which side of the fence we go for. That's my thought. And
well, let me just...
Okay, I knew this.
Interject. No, just...
That's fine.
This is just in regards to the situation we're in. Rather than have a motion to table this matter, we have a motion to accept it. Now, if we defeat the motion, then I guess, as a matter of protocol, do you come behind that and table it? You can't table it. You already defeated it. So we kind of got the cart in front of the horse. If we were going to consider tabling it, we should have considered tabling it before we had the motion to accept it.
That wasn't an option.
Well, sure. You could have made the motion to table it. He could have made the motion to table it. In hindsight, it would have been better.
Okay.
But here we are, a situation where we have a motion to accept this nuisance ordinance. And we've had comment. And unfortunately, if there's not any other comment, I guess I'm going to be left with calling for a vote.
Okay.
So I'm going to call the question. All in favor? Oh, yeah, other comment?
Well, I guess my question is, two more weeks isn't going to make any difference. So if we did what Commissioner Vickery asked for, and I took back my second, can I do that?
I think
withdraw your second. And so the motion dies
for lack of a second.
For lack of a second, but this doesn't.
That's correct.
This is still in place. All the work that was done is still in place. We're just going to direct Dennis to
get if it, we have a motion to that effect. If you want to withdraw your second, feel free.
I would like to withdraw my second, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Do we have a second to the motion then? If not, I guess the motion fails for lack of a second. Now, I consider a motion to table this ordinance till our next meeting and allow planning and zoning to advertise one more last time.
So move.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to table it to the next meeting. Any discussion on that? If not, I'll signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Dennis will take it up next time.
Check in your budget to see if we can get it in big print.
Get it in big print. Holy cow. That's some scary when you go.
I know.
Yeah. Okay, the second thing that was on our agenda was the request for plat amendment. This is for... larger subdivision, fourth filing. This I have up on the screen for you. This was approved by the commission on July 17th, 2018. It was then given to the banks and the mortgage companies for their final approval and signatures and stuff. Both parties were in agreement, and they have drugged their feet up until this time. We have the western most property owner who has their property under contract now. So there's been a little bit more of a push to get this plat actually recorded. What this plat did was basically start from back here on this property line, come out sideways and back out to the front so that it brought this property, the housing setbacks and their well setback, into compliance with the zoning regulations, because as you can see, the house is built across adjacent property line. So this plat is to fix that. The reason that the commission didn't sign the plat to begin with was they were waiting on one of the other property owner signatures, and we figured we had that all in hand and it would be done quickly. Did not happen. And then the plat currently has Andy's signature on it, a signature line, and a signature line for Mary on it. So I'm asking to just bring this back to you so that we had all the correct signatures on it this go around. Scott Sherbel was going to be out of town today, and he was supposed to drop this plat off to me, which he did not. So I think at this time, this might be more of an informational item that I will bring back to you at the next meeting or the following meeting. But that is the purpose behind this, is to get these two properties cleaned up.
Okay. Weren't we waiting on something from the bank as well before we would record this plat?
The bank and the mortgage company, and they have never...
So we're not going to record it until they bring those documents?
Correct. Okay. And that was kind of the whole thing. This is a kind of an extraordinary situation. I have not seen a plat drag on this long. We've got one other one that's getting out there.
So basically it's housekeeping because this was put in a position because the plat was not signed originally, even though it was approved by the commission.
Correct.
So what we need to do when you have the plat is come back to us, and we will make a motion to re-adopt or re-accept the plat with the new clerk and the new commissioner member.
Correct.
But we can't record it until we get the documents from the bank that go with the plat.
Supposedly by the time we get everything together here, we will have all of that.
Let's hope so, because we want to do it a third time.
Yeah, no, this is getting, this is, if this doesn't come through within the month here, I think we can toss it out and they can all start over, so.
So was this originally one piece of property?
No.
It wasn't?
That guy just built.
So the guy just built his house across on the other guy's land?
Mm-hmm, yeah, the well actually sits across property line also. The well.
Mistake.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that happened at Hope.
In fact, here, this might be just worth, I think.
It happened to me, that's why I'm saying that.
So this is the newer, so this propane tank here actually belongs to this house, and the well, I think right there's the wellhead to the green.
Where's leach field?
Green roofed house. They are over, leach field here.
The green spot?
Yep, the green spot. A little bit greener there and back here. It actually sits right there.
And who is the surveyor?
So it's, yeah, they didn't do a good job when they located the buildings to begin with, and the subsequent, this plat has just not gotten completed, so.
Well, you'll have to get back with us then.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, thanks, Dennis.
Thanks, Dennis.
Is there anything else the commission has? Not myself?
No, we'll reconsider. You got to re-advertise the nuisance thing. And
shall do.
Well,
okay. And I'll go from there. And please don't hesitate to contact me if you do have questions by the time you get the chance to go through that.
Okay.
Oh, did you want this plan?
I guess so.
Yeah. All right.
Have to go with that technology, you know.
That's right.
If they can get it to work with a government computer, so they put too many friggin' security things on here.
Okay.
Or it might not be in the
Okay. Okay, so anyway, my name's Edward Mosco. I'm a local resident here in the county's partnership specialist for the U.S. Census Bureau. And what happens, you know, in 2010, they only had one partnership specialist for the whole of Wyoming who had to travel. So what they decided to do is hire personnel in certain areas. So I have Sublette County, Park County, Hot Springs County, Fremont County, and Bighorn. So I have to travel around with those various places, establishing, and the whole goal here is for us to establish a CCC, which is a complete count committee. And Sublette County did have one back in 2010 when they did the 2010 census. So basically, this is the reason why we're doing the census, because it's actually the founding fathers actually put this in the Constitution. So it's basically a law that every 10 years we're required to count every person in the U.S. And to say every person, it doesn't say anything about citizenship. And that's how they word it, is any person living in the U.S. has to provide their number, you know, one count for one person in the right place is basically what they say. So like I said here, I already mentioned that. It's a democratic process, and they've automated this year, 2020, to do the census this year. So it's supposed to be a little bit easier. They have safeguards into place. And like I said, I was showing you here the decennial census. And basically what the purpose of the census, everyone knows, it allows for zoning, districting, redistricting, and for numbers for Congress, and also for allocation of funds to the state, the counties, and the cities. And by law, you know, I took an oath under Title 13 that I'm not allowed to provide any confidential information, any PII, you know, personal identifiable information. And plus with my background, retired Marine for 24 years, and then I was a background investigator for the U.S. government doing clearances for the U.S. government for 6 years. So I had to deal with PII all the time. So I'm not in jail yet. So, and like I said, I already mentioned that, but taking an oath. And one of the areas of problems they had in 2010 is the hard to count areas. They call it group quarters, which is basically college dorms, you know, group homes, prisons, nursing homes, and residential treatment centers for people with drug addictions or something like that, because they were not counted or were not represented properly. you know, like for example, a college student, they have a lease for three people living in there, and they have seven people living there, and they think they're breaking the law when the census comes around, and so they only report three people, and because they think the landlord is going to find out, which we don't do. That's not our job. We're not law enforcement. We don't provide any confidential information. We just deal with data and statistics on that. And the other one was in 2010, they undercounted children. And the big areas were 0 to 4 years old, and a lot of those were children from broken homes, you know, or single parents living in apartment complexes. And then there's certain ethnic groups that look at children differently than other ethnic groups, and so they don't consider them, I guess, as an account. So people were undercounted that way. So, and of course, it's mandated, like I said, mandated by the census, I mean by the Constitution, and then every year since 2010 census, Congress allocates $675 billion to the states. And that's based off the data that was done in 2010. And of course, this is what happened in 2010, is the reapportionment of congressional seats. So this is the quick, you know, just to let you guys see, wow, or who cares?
We're not going to gain one.
Yeah, no. Well, no, we know
we,
that.
We might lose one.
Go down one to zero. Huh?
Yeah, go down to zero. So anyway, so this is the way that the like I mentioned before, that the 2020 census is going online, and then if somebody doesn't, they're going to give you a postcard. You can receive the mail with an ID card, and basically how you determine is you have to put your address in when you go online, and it determines, you know, so it doesn't allow somebody to count you more than one time. And then people make a choice, they can call by phone and do it by phone or in person. But normally what happens, they have some processes in place that you can do the self-response, and then if they don't hear from you, they're going to send another card in. And then after that, they're going to send a packet to you that either you can fill out and send it back, like how they used to in the old days. And if you don't do that, then they're going to send somebody actually coming and knocking at the door to get your data. So that's what they have in place. And this is why I'm here, is for try to get the county to do a county complete count committee, a CCC, where you have, you know, the reason for that is because you guys are the trusted voice of the community. People know you. They understand, so we get the word out to advertise how important the Census Bureau is, and then basically this is what it kind of looks like, a quick nutshell. I have that in the little packets I gave you, kind of mentions about establishing a complete county committee, but this is normally what, you know, you have the nonprofits, you know, you have the group cores like the Assisted Living, veterans, and also I'm also the veteran rep for Wyoming for the census. So homeless. And homeless is another one of the things I mentioned earlier about the group quarters. Normally, they don't like to be counted. So, and I don't think we have too much of a problem in this area because of the weather, because they're not going to be hanging out too much in the cold weather. But even though I guess the church does have a like a transient place for people to live, but usually those are hikers or something like that, and also faith-based communities. And these are some of the local partnership strategies, you know, the Native Americans. You know, the state, we're right now in the process of establishing a state complete county committee up there. And Stephanie, who's the one that had done it by herself in 2010, is in charge of that. She's in the Cheyenne area, so she's doing that. And of course, like I mentioned before, and the LGBT, but I'm not going to say anything. And this is one of the other things that I provide. Local government, you know, I serve as a liaison, and plus also the CCC is established on the technical advisor. I'll provide updates from the census to everybody. And then also, if you vote to establish a CCC, then we do a 2-hour training session on how it works and what the process is for that, to get the words out and advertising tools and stuff like this. The Census Bureau doesn't have any funding, but they have on their webpage, you can access that where you can either, you know, a lot of times businesses may donate their money for the advertising or stuff like that. So what happened there? And these are other ways of educating the public now. They have Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. So they're trying to go modern on, you know, getting the word out about the importance of the 2020 census. And then also advertising 1,280 positions, which are temporary jobs for, you know, for enumerators, field staff, you know, door knockers, but address canvassing and stuff like that. Now they're advertising that right now. And of course, as I mentioned before about the dates, so basically March 9th is when the self-response, you'll get they're going to mail out cards like starting March 1st, and then March 9th is when online is going to happen. They can vote on that. And of course, April 1st is the census day. And the way that works too is that you have, like with the snowbirds, where some people live so many months out of the year in other areas, depending on which is longer, that's where they would count them, their number for that, for the statistical data. But for 6 months, for example, if they live 6 months out of the year one place and 6 months out, wherever they're at, located at April 1st is where they're going to be counted for that residence. So, and as you can see, you see the other stuff there, then the census data will be delivered to the President of the United States. And then that's my contact information. I gave you a business card. And then here's just an example of where to go for helpful links, because George Washington University did a study of counting dollars, and they have it broke down by every state and about where areas that they lost money or got money because the counts were off. So that's a pretty good study. There's a lot of information. And then also the other, like, census materials and stuff like that. And I think that Carrie forwarded you the PowerPoint on that. So, and that's it. That's my brief. Trying to keep it short and sweet. So, and exciting.
Well, one out of two is not bad.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, exactly. Okay. That's all. Appreciate it. That's all I needed
here. So I've got a question where we've got some border concerns and all those folks coming here. How do you keep track of who they are?
Well, we're nonpartisan, so we don't stand on either side of the fence on that. So all we do is collect data. So like I said, the Constitution doesn't say U.S. citizens. It says any person living in the United States. So well, one of the areas we're going to do, because the Sacred Heart, a lot of Hispanic Mexicans go to Mass there. And so we're going to work through the priest and maybe the Knights of Columbus with them about getting the word out to them how important it is to vote. And that they have to understand the biggest problem is we need to convince them to say, hey, we're not here. We don't, I think I actually had a slide in here that says we don't notify any, with any doubt, law enforcement, you know, ICE or anything. Let me see what I have in here. Might have went by fast. But I had it. Maybe I had another brief. No, I might have put in another brief. I thought I had it in here.
Yeah, but that's okay. I just.
But yeah, so the thing is, that's the main thing, is trying to, that's what they have, and also online. So one of the, we like to use the libraries, because if people, especially in rural communities, don't have a lot of internet. And so I've already talked to Suki about that. She was part of this process back in 2010, but now with high tech and online, advertise that if anyone doesn't have a computer, they can go there and do their count. And also the program's in 12 different languages. So they can go on whatever they're fluent with and provide their information. But what we have to convince them is that we're not a law enforcement agency. We don't provide any data. All the data, the data we provide is all, you know, confidential for person's information. We just provide statistics. So they have to understand that we're not going to turn them in because if they're here illegally or not. But the thing is, if you have 1,000 illegal immigrants there, if you get the numbers, that's going to be more funding for the community, because it raises the population, that the stress with the community and stuff like that. So
Ed, what are you Are you asking something of us? In terms
well, whether the about establishing a
complete count committee. Yeah. Yeah.
On that, and it doesn't have to be the commissioner chairing it. It could be somebody that's voted that you guys or somebody can volunteer. Like, for example, I was at in Fremont last week or 2 weeks, 2 weeks ago, and they the Fremont Governors Association meeting, so all the mayors were there and everything. They voted to establish a CCC County Commission, and one of the chairs for the actual Fremont Governors Association volunteered to be the run it because the mayors and the commissioners are a little bit too busy to worry that, so they established that, but they're into that because they want to break certain population numbers so that increases their funding. So
you're going to make, or have you, or will you make this presentation to the mayors as well?
Well, I'm trying to, but the clerk, they only gave me 5 minutes. She got into, caught up in the politics of it all, and I said, we're nonpartisan. I go, it has nothing to do with what we don't want to, so she only gave me 5 minutes, so hopefully I can say something. So I'm scheduled on the 12th to meet with the, you know, the town council. So, and I'm meeting with Big Piney and Marbleton in September because I have to be in Breckenridge, Colorado for some meeting down there in the late August. So I had to cancel all that. And now, same thing in Washakie County. I was supposed to do a brief there in August, and they made me cancel it. So I'm going up to Washakie, up to Warland to do their brief in CCC. But I've been on phone contact with them, so they're very eager for this because they want to break the population of 5,000, which puts them in a different funding area. So
who's, is it inherent upon, out of all those, how do you get somebody in there to take charge in terms of
establishing? Well, it's not, that would be something that the commission would have to discuss on that. So we can come back at another time too, but I think that your next meetings are going to be probably when I'm in different counties.
Right.
So, but that's the main thing is that the fourth whole thing is once you say, yeah, we're going to establish a complete count committee, then we'll establish a time for training, which is about two and a half hours. I'm going to be next week up in Teton. They're going to be doing CCC training up there because they established a CCC there. So I'll be going up there with one or two other partners that have Teton because he's a fluent speaker in Spanish. So they gave him Teton County because it has a higher community of Spanish speakers. And so he has like the corridor from Long 80 and then up to Lincoln County. So from Laramie. So, but as that's on basic table, dude, I'm just giving you the information on what we want to do and get the word out so we can, you know, make sure we get an accurate count of the population.
Sure. Okay. Thank you.
No problem. This off. I think I'm done. Thank you.
You should turn it off and turn it on.
Yeah. Hey, I was a Marine, so the freaking technology is not a freaking thing we like to do.
Well, thank you for your
Thank you very much.
Yeah. No problem.
Covered monthly report from the commissioners. Mr. Rawhouse, do you have
I have been very, very busy, but none of it has anything to do with the county. So I have nothing to report.
Really?
Mm-hmm. At this time.
Okay. Commissioner Rausman.
I've been trying to put some hay up. I don't have much to report except I have agreed to attend a held SRS fly-in. In September, which I've been doing for years. I will be going a day early for the White House meeting. I think there's three commissioners from Wyoming that are planning to attend, and Bailey is in the process of helping us come up with probably two or three specific issues we want to bring up, and it would all have to do with more input from local government and federal agency decisions one way or another.
Okay.
And
that's what, the first week of September?
10th of September, 10th through the 12th is what it'll be. NACO will be, at least for me, NACO will be underwriting. They'll pay part of my travel and three nights hotel room. So they won't all be on the back of Southern County.
Good. Enjoy your time in D.C.
Yeah.
I hear it's nice that
like
time of year.
Do. Yeah. The only good thing about there is leaving.
Commissioner Noble.
The only thing I've been involved in is the Lumen site negotiations, and other than that, I have nothing to report.
Commissioner Bakery.
Hey. That's a kind of me.
The only thing I have is I participated in the WCCA conference call last Thursday with regards to migration corridors, and it was just an update of really to the others on the phone what Mac and I were, I want to say, already aware of in terms of having attended those meetings. But it does bring up the opportunity to remind you that the last two meetings of the Governor's Advisory Committee on the Migration Corridors will be in Pinedale next Monday and Tuesday, starting at 8 o'clock in the morning at the BLM office. And since we are unofficially hosting it because it's in our community, I would encourage you, if you can, at least come for the morning session, or at least for the introduction, to show our presence. That would be appreciated. I think Mac and I'll be there for 2 days because we're finishing up with this. But certainly, if you have a chance to come by at 8 in the morning to at least say hello, let the committee know that you're from Sumner County and here, I think that would be good for us as a county in terms of that representation.
Do we know where yet?
It's the BLM office.
BLM office?
Yeah.
And it starts at 8 o'clock.
I don't know that they have an agenda. We haven't.
We haven't seen one yet.
We haven't. No. Since we've been and signed up each time, the last time they sent us an agenda, I do know that this meeting is going to be primarily centered around discussion of the group in terms of the recommendations they're expected to make to the governor at the end of the second day on the 13th. The previous four meetings have involved presentations from various parties, be it game and fish, oil and gas, mining, landowners, conservation groups, whatever. But my understanding is what they told us at the last meeting, this is going to be more not limited. There's not going to be any presenters per se. There's just going to be discussion on the part of that committee in terms of the 15 questions that the governor asked them and what are their consensus among that moving forward. So I think that's, hopefully we'll have a good turnout to hear what the recommendations are going to be and see how it plays out in terms of the wide variety of people they have or representation that they have on that committee. That's all I have.
So it'll be mostly just to listen to what their discussion within the committee group is about.
That's my understanding, Doug, because they made that clear in Lander at the last meeting that they had heard from all the presenters and that this meeting, the conclusion of these meetings was going to be allocated for the group at that table, and there's eight of them plus a moderator and somebody from the governor's office to hash out what their recommendations were going to be and what that was going to focus on. And the two main areas of focus are going to be the bottleneck areas and the stopover areas, which are considerable in our county. So I don't think there's not going to be like a presenter from BLM and a presenter from Forest Service and Game and Fish and that kind of thing. It's just going to be that conclusive.
Excuse me, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's going to be the conclusive discussion.
And so what is the description of the bottleneck?
Give you a prime example. Is Pinedale is a bottleneck. All of the deer that migrate out of the mountains from along the Wind River Range, they get stopped because of the weather at Fremont Lake. So they come right down Fremont Lake, and it right at the end of Fremont Lake, that's the bottleneck right there. They come around the end of the lake, then they start to spread out, then they get into another bottleneck at Boulder Lake. Every one of these lakes creates a bottleneck for the migrating animals. And so that's been a real concern for what's going to happen with the oil and gas industry, is these bottlenecks. But everybody's starting to find out the bottlenecks of the town of Pinedale was built before we ever thought about migration corridors, and the deer have still been moving through there. So what they're focusing on now, it looks to me like, is the stopover areas, and especially the areas when the deer are coming backwards after they go in the springtime, moving with. So that's where the that's where they're having a little trouble with consensus, in the fact that do we have surface occupancy in this area, because this is where the deer are stopping. They don't want to force them past that area too quickly. They want them to stop, gain their strength back to move on to the high country.
And bear with me for a moment, because for the folks that are having issues with this bottleneck thing, do they realize that we don't have 10,000 deer at once go? We might have 10,000 deer, but it takes 3 weeks or a month for them to get through there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they understand it all. It's just a matter that it's a very complex issue, because you've got more than one person talking about it.
Yeah, well, there's another variable in that, because when you look at the stopover areas, correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of those entail private lands.
Right. I've got one of them.
Well, I understand.
Sure.
But what they're talking about is trying to develop a policy for government lands. I don't know that they can do that with the private lands. And what they have now, is they have a special lease notice. And that all started, well, part of the thing started down in Sweetwater County when the commission down there decided to defer making a decision on that to the resource management plan could be decided upon. So they're looking for, and there's been a lot of discussion that those special lease notices really don't carry much weight in terms of being not only not stringent enough, but held up in terms of the legal sense. So one of the questions they're looking at is developing an amendment to the resource management plan that would replace lease special lease notices with stipulations. And that gets more concerning, not only because it's more stringent, which maybe it should be, but I don't think they're going to get into that business of making it retroactive to existing leases. But anything's possible.
So it gets very, very complex, which seems relatively simple, but it gets really complex.
I have a comment.
Yes.
Even if they make these stipulations or whatever on the federal lands, they're still going to come to the private lands eventually. So by stipulating what they can stipulate, they're still just putting off the inevitable.
You mean the oil companies?
The federal, putting these stipulations on the leases, because they're stipulating.
Well, I don't think they can do that on private land.
No,
that's what I'm saying.
Right.
So by stipulating on the federal lands, then they're just putting off, because they're still going to hit the private lands that will potentially have the bottleneck. Mm-hmm. So they're just showing their power on somewhere they can for what? Why?
They're looking at that, and you're right, because they're looking at, those lands that are suitable for mineral development that affect migration corridors,
right.
But those are on federal lands. So when you start looking into these stopover areas, most of those are private lands. So it's going to be...
They all need to be coordinated.
Yeah,
and that's the hard, because now you're talking about money, you're talking about you're talking about the ecologists, you're talking about...
They start an inroad by stipulating, and then they start, they work their way into, essentially, they're getting to manipulating private lands, and that kind of bothers.
Yeah, and you're exactly right, because if they're going to look at these bottleneck areas per se, and they're going to say no surface occupancy on the bottleneck areas, you just excluded all lease development on that. Because of that, and that's one thing they're talking about doing.
Right.
One of the questions that can't be answered is, they've done deer studies in Oregon and in Idaho, and they're deer populations are down 30%. The same that's down in Wyoming by 30%. But there are no oil rigs or gas rigs in Idaho and Oregon. There's a problem in the mule deer herd, in their migration herds, and they haven't figured it out. That's one of the problems, and they're trying to.
What you're saying is they haven't figured out who to point the finger at.
Well, there's so many unknowns and so many variables.
Absolutely. Wow. There's a unit down by Rock Springs that is down over 30% in the deer, and there's not an oil or a gas rig in it. But that unit
is down.
And I'm trying to think of the name of it. There's a mountain out there, Black Mountain.
There is a Black Mountain.
Yeah, it might be Black Mountain. It's way out in the middle of nowhere, you know, two blocks off Big Pony.
Interesting.
Yeah, so yes. But if you're interested in this, it will be interesting to listen on Monday, because they're all going to come with their guns loaded.
Mr. Chair. Yes. Not that this is relevant, but Joel, you probably haven't answered this, or any of you. Where are we at with our land use policy and, you know, the 50 grand that they were going to give each county to update it? Do you know what's going on?
As far as I know, Bailey's still working
on the criteria draft
that would go out to us. Then once we get that criteria,
then we'll go through and address it.
Then we'll need to update our local plan.
How are we going to do that? What's your thoughts on getting that taken care of?
My thought is, since ERG helped do the first plan, and they're one of them that's names on the list of people that we could use. There's some out-of-state consultants, some in Utah, that are out there really lobbying,
trying to get some business.
But ERG is very familiar. They helped develop the one we have now.
So we're waiting on Bailey's criteria.
I'm waiting on Bailey's criteria right now.
Now, back to your comment, how things progress once you get your foot in the door. There has been some discussion in terms of counties and planning and zoning and development, in terms of limiting private development or those land. That talk is there. So if you want to listen to it or talk to those guys on a break or whatever, that's part of the discussion.
Well, I suspected that was. I mean, I've worked for the government for 20 years.
Yeah.
I understand how they work, yeah.
And that's been looked at, you know, in terms of future development.
Which is scary to me as an individual in Wyoming, when they start stipulating how we deal with our private lands, and that gets a little...
You got wild and scenic rivers coming, too.
Yes.
I have a couple things whenever you
get... Okay. I think we're ready.
Okay. I had a call from Melinda Gibson at Homeland Security requesting a conference call. So myself, Daniel with FEMA 8, Jim Mitchell, and Dave Nimitz attended. In the invitation for the conference call, she said she recommended that we have our project engineer there as well. And since we didn't really have one, I called Todd Hurd and asked him to attend as well. So he came and sat in on the conference call with me. Anyway, what FEMA wanted us to do was amend our budget for the project, because we had $20,000 set aside for a project engineer. And what they were suggesting is that we amend our budget to $50,000, take the difference off of some of the projects that were included, and also change it from a one-time thing to two different phases, with the engineering being part of the first phase. So,
now, is this in regards to that grant they got?
They haven't got it yet.
Well, they're going to get?
Yes. So,
and this is matching money, or pass-through money that we'll get back?
We'll get some of it back. Remember, we committed some to.
Yeah, we did.
But you guys put me in charge of that grant.
What's that?
You guys said I was the contact person for that grant. So Sublette County is managing that grant, not the back ranches.
Right.
Okay. That's right.
So that's where we are on it now. And the next thing, we'll need to put out an RFP for a project engineer so they can clarify what the projects are. Because right now, they want to give the money, but the wording is too vague. So they want an actual engineer to go out there and let them know what needs to be done.
So I guess my question is that going to be additional expense to the county?
No.
It'll come out of the grant.
It'll come out of the grant. Yeah. They just ask us to revise our budget in that grant to increase the engineering costs.
So basically, the engineer will go out and determine how many culverts and what size of culverts need to go
on
the road.
Right, because apparently the whoever wrote it to start with, Wood Environmental, they're talking about cement culverts, and that's not really practical here. So they're wanting it revised to be more specific.
So my question would be, if they want us to do that, can't we stipulate that the engineering firm, whoever that is, be from Sublette County?
They have specific guidelines on how you submit an RFP for federal money.
Okay.
I'm not exactly sure what those are yet, but when we get to that point, that's what we'll have to address.
Is this kind of after the fact?
No.
Very much.
No, we've known all along that you signed papers saying that you would abide by their...
the rule.
Yeah.
Well, it's after the fact, after Wood came in and was hired as a consultant to develop that, and then...
They're just trying to help us.
Yeah.
Because our guidelines and what we wanted were a little vague, and they're wanting to help us succeed in this grant by having particular... specific things that are going to happen.
Well, that's only fair.
Yeah.
It's good to hear.
Right. And so that's that on Hoback Ranches. Also, Environmental is, when are we scheduled to close for them? The 12th?
Yeah, the
13th. 13th? Because they got put off again.
So it went past the 26th?
Yes.
Okay.
What's this?
Environmental.
And we have already given them our... sent the money to First American, and they've deposited it, so we're good there. And then we'll get that money back, and then we'll start that grant process of the leases for the 5 years.
So is there a date that's supposed to be have signatures?
I think it's the 13th. We'll let you know.
Okay.
And I think that's all I have for those grants.
Whether or not this is the time, Hoback Ranches has a sign at each entrance that says no public access, but now we're putting federal and public money into it. Doesn't that make it a public access?
I'm sorry,
just saying Hoback Ranches has a sign at each end that says no public access, private road, but we're dumping.
I'm not
going to
make any public comment.
Yeah, you really.
If you want to call me after the meeting.
But now we're putting public money into it.
Tom, several years ago, when they first started talking about the county making that a road, one of the questions was, the county was going to put public funds into that road, then it should provide public access through Hoback Ranches to the stuff beyond it.
Whatever it wants to be, yeah.
Yeah, because there is, I think part of it does join the forest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's never happened either, so just so you know.
So the Class 2 money was public money too, and we still have public signs.
Still no public access.
Yeah. So there.
That's the way it was.
Couldn't help it. I had to throw that out there.
Anything else?
That's a good rock. Fill my bucket.
Gee, I think it's time to consider a motion for adjournment.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second that one.
Thank you.